We're done. I'm sorry, we're done. Okay, so section two, number nine, case 24-142 regarding Carla Valentine DVM. Tracy, would you read the summary for us, please?
Yes, case 24-142, the complainant is the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board. The respondent is Carla Valentine DVM. At the May 15th, 2024 Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board meeting, the board opened an investigation after reviewing premises inspections conducted at Sedona Animal Clinic. Respondent was the responsible veterinarian for the premises. Additionally, the board expressed concerns that respondent was not an Arizona resident, which is required for a premises license to be held in Arizona. Respondent is no longer the responsible veterinarian for the premise, and the premises is closed.
Okay, thank you. So we do have David Stoll.
David Stoll.
All right.
I just briefly, Dr. Valentine has confirmed that the practice has been shut down since last May. The building was sold and all the contents are gone. All DEA drugs have been disposed of or returned over to the DEA. All controlled substances have been accounted for and the other concerns have been addressed. So we would ask that the complaint be dismissed with no violation. Thank you.
Thank you. And we do have Ms. Solomon. You are the lead on this case.
Thank you. And I understand from the respondent's writings that she has no intent to return to the state of Arizona to practice veterinary medicine.
That is my understanding.
Okay.
And licenses are renewed in the end of this year, right?
Pardon?
Yeah. December.
Yeah, so it is this year. Okay. Yeah.
So at this point, I would like to, and Mark, chime in if necessary, give Dr. Valentine the option to voluntarily surrender her Arizona license, and to double check with Victoria that if she does and she changes her mind at some future time, can she come back and reapply?
So this is Dr. Wright. I don't think we have an ability to surrender a license. Is that correct? We don't really have.
By consent agreement, she could.
Oh, we could. Oh, okay. So we can do it. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Otherwise, can you let it expire at the end of the year and just don't use it, or?
It would be treated as a revocation.
Yes, that needs to be clear.
Yeah. So it may be better just to give her the ability to let it expire, because if there's a revocation and she has to report it to other states.
I wasn't suggesting revocation. Okay.
But I think that's the only option we have, right? If it's a consent agreement. Or did I misunderstand?
Yeah,
that?
We could do a consent agreement that could say that she agrees not to practice under her license until it expires, or and then she agrees not to renew it.
Yeah.
Okay. I move we offer a consent agreement. I'm sorry.
You can't
there was
see.
One question real quick. Sorry.
Madam Chair, members of the board, before you make any decisions about this, if I could share some additional information that may be in conflict with what Mr. Stoll shared.
Oh, sure.
Just to give a fuller explanation of the controlled drugs, I have been in contact with the DEA several times regarding Dr. Valentine. Her controlled drugs were left in the clinic. The clinic, she was locked out of it for failure to pay the rent on it. So the DEA believe that to be that she abandoned the drugs. So I think what you heard was that they were all taken care of, but that's not the full story. As well, we don't know that people are being able to get their medical records. I had asked her how that would occur, and she said at one time that she was still answering emails or things that we have since heard from other people, but that's not occurring. So there remains to be problems, even though she's left the state and she did create problems while she was here. She clearly did not live here. She was not a resident of Arizona while she held the premise license, even though she should have.
So you mentioned that, because in her response, as long as I have access to the medical records, hearing from other like clients or practices?
Just people
or
call, yeah, other
okay.
customers.
And so I guess,
So
I guess do we have to move this forward? Because like, what kind of medical records are these? Are these paper? Are these electronic? Like, where are these at? Because if they're in some digital limbo.
Well, and that's kind of a follow-up question.
They are in some digital limbo.
Oh, okay.
Was that she, didn't she say something that she no longer had access to it or something like that?
Yeah, she said she has electronic access.
And just to kind of follow up on that, I mean, that's not an excuse. You have to maintain your medical records. But the only recourse we have is while she has a license.
Right,
so at the end of December, if something were to happen, there's nothing we can do at that point, right?
You can do what you always do right at this stage, offer a consent agreement or move it to informal.
That was kind of my next question. So if in that consent agreement, because it's, like 3 years? 3 years you have to have records, not five.
3 years from the date, the last day being time seen. The patient was seen.
So.
Right, but that's not renewed, yeah.
Yeah, can we write in a consent agreement that she's still responsible for those medical records even after the license is expired, or?
You can, but that's just the law. Just because your license expires, you're still responsible.
It would just have to go through the courts at that point, as opposed to us.
Yeah.
So someone would have, okay. Because I just want to make sure, because if something were to happen and you just kind of wash your hands and walk away, the other states need to know about that too, and we don't have a way to, but that would be up to the clients at that point to file a court case. So can we say in the consent agreement that you are, just be aware that you are responsible for maintaining these records based on this state law, even if you're not under the purview of the board?
We can definitely, spell it out and what the requirements are.
Okay.
So I move we offer a consent agreement to Dr. Valentine that asking that she agree to not renew her license in December of this year, and that she not practice veterinary medicine in Arizona between now and then, and that the note that she will be responsible for providing medical records, what is it, for 3 years?
For the duration.
She's required to do that anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, we can just put that in there.
Yeah. Just a reminder. Okay. She can't say, I didn't know.
Okay. And if not fine within 30 days, it goes to informal.
Okay. So that's the motion. Is there a second on that?
Well, I mean, we'd have to have a violation.
You've got to have a violation.
Yeah.
So they're not identified in the inspection.
We don't need a violation if we just do a don't practice and don't renew. So you still need a violation.
Okay, she's not a resident of Arizona.
Right. I'm going to say I have more questions because I want to know the answers to these things and they aren't answered. As far as the records, where they're at, digital access, because the thing is if they are digital, if that is truly the case, then you have to continue paying for access, or you have to have them digitized into like PDFs and like say that you're going to have them somewhere. And how do people actually get a hold of these records? Because it's a crappy situation all the way around, it sounds like, and she's not a resident of the state, never really was a resident of the state, then being in Arizona, practicing in Arizona isn't a thing. But for all of the patients and clients that were affected, I think that's where we begin and end, right, is that. So I don't know, I have more questions. I make a motion to go.
Just, Madam Chair, just to note, she claims she did reside in Arizona from November 9th of 2023 till May 9th of 2024.
The physical facility that she said that she lived in, which was the clinic, there was no physical place for a person to live in this clinic.
It wasn't a residence.
So can we move it to an informal? Highly recommend that she attend telephonically because she's out of state. And if we don't attend telephonically, then potentially there's going to be some violations which are going to be following her forever. So maybe just move it to an informal and say, you really need to talk to us next month. We can't you to, but I highly recommend it.
I mean, there's legal counsel here, so legal counsel knows what questions we have.
Yeah, but we weren't here to discuss it today.
I withdraw my motion.
And if we're not here to discuss it next month, we're not going to get the answer we need, and that may direct where we're going to go.
Okay.
So I want that to be very clear.
Okay. Okay. So Ms. Solomon withdrew her motion. I made a motion to go to move it to informal.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Anything else? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
None.
Opposed? Okay. I'm moved to informal.
Good job.
And where are we at? We have 5 minutes. Should we
Take a quick break?
Quick break?
Oh, yeah, two more IRs. Okay. Do we think we can get them through
one
faster?
More.
Oh, yeah, that's
one. Oh, one. Oh, that's right.
Why are you adding?
Gosh.
I'm already behind. Okay. So, bathroom break?
No, go ahead.
No, we're good. Bathroom break? Okay. All right.
Go faster.
Section 2, number 10. This is case 24143 regarding Brian Hader, DVM. Tracy, if you could.
Case 24143, the complainant is the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board. The respondent is Brian Hader, UVM. At the May 15th, 2024, Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board meeting, the board opened an application due to a premises application not being submitted for Desert Forest Animal Hospital. At the February 21st, 2024 board meeting, the board directed respondent to submit a new premises license application naming a different veterinarian as the responsible veterinarian for the premises within 2 weeks, since respondent is no longer a resident of Arizona. Per statute 3222.72b states in part that a premises application shall be on a form prescribed by the board and shall contain one, the name and location of the premises, and two, the responsible veterinarian shall be a veterinarian who is licensed in the state and who resides in the state. And this was brought directly to you for your review and consideration.
Okay. The respondent is not present. No legal counsel noted. So,
yes. Dr. Hader did provide a statement.
Yes.
To the board.
And Dr. Byrne, you are the lead.
I am lead. So basically, the way I look at this is there's a veterinary clinic being operated without a current premise license because the owner of the practice lives in another state. It doesn't have a premise license. And the associate veterinarian that works for the practice does not want to obtain a premise license to be the responsible veterinarian for the premise license. So in de facto, they're operating a veterinary practice that's not licensed. So I guess I was going to move this to an informal to have Dr. Hader come in to make some resolution to the process. Because it can't be continued to operate without a premise holder.
I say, and really his response says,
yeah,
I don't have a solution, so do we even?
I mean, for one, we shouldn't be operating right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we should be shut down.
Yeah.
I mean, if that associate right. doesn't want to take it on, well, then you don't get a job.
Right.
I mean, that's just your option.
That's right the now. Basic facts of the facts. So.
Right. So, yeah. So, I mean, it's not really a summary suspension, but how do we tell them you need to be done right now?
Well, I think that's just a conversation that staff has. And what they choose to do with that information is up to them. You do need to do something with this case, and that is, you know, probably the next step would be the informal. We can certainly, you know, consider what has happened since that communication took place. But you're absolutely right.
So we have to go to an informal before we revoke a premise like
Well,
this.
I would say we can go to an informal. We need to direct board staff to contact them saying that they are out of compliance with license and they need to stop services today, basically,
right.
Or as soon as you can get a chance to. And then if they do find a premise veterinarian to take the premise, file an application and we'll just go from there.
That's exactly right.
And you can find one tomorrow. Great, cool.
Yeah. And that'll be all information that will be,
unless I'm wrong.
At the informal.
So I can suggest that they stop.
Yeah, we can.
Would that be correct?
Yes.
Okay. Quick question, Mark. This is Jane. If we go to informal, does that mean we're allowing them to operate without a premise license in the interim?
They do have a license. They have a license until you all revoke that premise license.
So what we're trying to do is you know, the Chamber of Commerce work with them. You know, we never want to, you know, we don't want to shut down any, you know, practice that has significant consequences. At the same time, they have to follow the laws and rules. And what we're, what I think this approach does is it gives the board the opportunity to communicate the concerns while moving the case forward. And hopefully that, you know, some of these concerns will be, you know, addressed before the informal, but if not, then you'll have your full bundle of options available to you at that time.
So even though there's not a veterinarian in the state attached to the license, it is still technically active. It's just there's no responsible veterinarian right now.
Right, they're not in compliance with that requirement.
But we don't want to go through and suspend it at this point. We just say, do
well,
the right thing.
Well, there's due process that we have to
forward. Yeah, exactly.
So, and that's what this is.
But that wouldn't be like, I mean, if there's, I mean, danger to public, you could summary suspend, but I mean, that's not really this.
We don't have evidence of that.
I think it's more just do the right thing.
Yeah.
And figure it out.
And you always want to, I mean, my experience with the board has always been, let's get people in compliance.
Well, and that's, it's just because we got this, oh, well, I already responded to you before the last board meeting. Oh, well, I don't really have any options. It just sounds like this is not really, there's a lot of care there. I think there is business, but I'm also like, I don't trust that we're going to care, but I don't think we can deal with that until next month anyway, really.
Right, and until we take action against that license.
So, say,
oh,
sorry.
No, you're okay. I have a motion to move to informal.
So I'm going to make a motion to move it to informal.
And direct staff to?
And direct staff to pursue.
Educate
ask
the premises.
Ask for movement on the premise, the responsible veterinarian status prior to the next meeting.
Because they are not in compliance.
Because they're not in compliance.
Or is there a better way of saying that?
I think I can informally tell them that they're not in compliance because the board hasn't taken action
yeah.
to say
oh, okay.
that they're not in compliance.
So a motion, second?
Second.
All right. Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Thank you. So motion passes to move to informal. All right. We are moving on to our informal interviews, section 3.